Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, where business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs gather to discover playmaking ideas for success. Your host is internationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author, Steve Klein, who sits down with fascinating playmakers who have made themselves and their company successful. Steve will introduce you to CEOs and executives who discuss their playmaking path toward success. And now, it's time to meet this show's playmaker. Here's your host, Steve Klein.
George W. Bush said, "Serve a purpose greater than oneself." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today is a guest who does serve a purpose greater than himself. Today's playmaker began his business by disrupting a 50-year-old industry that became popular in the 1960s. With us today is a chairman and CEO whose core values are represented by the Iceman. This great playmaker is Ray Pakowski. Ray is chairman and CEO of the Expo Group. Now, Ray is an entrepreneur and trade show industry leader with almost 40 years in positions related to trade shows and exhibits. He's also started numerous companies over the last 30 years, from trade show companies to banks, and also owns several trade shows. Now, since its inception in 1991, the Expo Group has been recognized by the Inc. 500 as the 28th fastest growing company in the USA, was named a Texas Family Business of the Year by the Baylor Business School, and was named four times to the prestigious Dallas 100, awarded by the Carruth Institute for Entrepreneurship at the Southern Methodist University Cox School of Business. The Expo Group earned the Irving Convention Visitors Bureau Byron Nelson Award and was named a Dallas Business Journal Top 25 Family-Owned Business. That's a lot there, Ray. Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. That just shows you I'm an old guy.
Well,
been around a long time.
Awards deserved. I mentioned this at the beginning, but you began disrupting a mature industry about 30 years ago. Why did you do that?
Well, I just felt there was a need for it. The way that business was taking place in our industry at that time was very archaic. You had to operate in silos with different suppliers. It made it very unfriendly for the end user, being the exhibitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just an idea that I had. Now, keep in mind, the first company I started was back in 1987. Technology wasn't what it is today. When I shared my thoughts with different people, they thought that there is no way possible to accomplish the vision that I had. Being the person that I am, it was not quite acceptable to me. I actually took the ideas to the owner of the company I was working for at that time. They did evaluate it. They did look at it, and they just felt it wasn't something that they wanted to try. I actually tried to buy a region of the company to allow me to try to do that, just a portion of the business or the company I was working for, and that was voted down. So left me no choice. I had to go out and try it, and boy, was I surprised by the acceptance of it, the difficulty of it, because in technology, I'm not a technology guy. So I had to find a way, after we started getting initially the business that we were getting, it was really understood why the owners of my previous company said, this is not for us. So we had to go out and find a way to automate it. And so that was very disruptive for our industry. We did accomplish that. It took us a couple of years. But once we did that, it became very, very user-friendly.
Well, you were at the cusp of technology back then, because if I recall, the computers were just beginning. Microsoft was just coming out, Apple was just coming out with their first computers. So you were at the very beginning of developing software.
That's correct.
That was, and I want to refer to your book. You have a book with some lessons learned in there called Lessons of an Entrepreneur, and we'll talk more about that as we go along. But in that book, you talk about how you developed that software, and you were cutting edge back then.
Absolutely, we definitely were. And again, for being, going back to your original question, we were disrupting an industry that becomes a threat to the big players in the industry. But yes, we were very cutting edge, and still are today.
We're going to come back to that, but let's talk about you as an entrepreneur. You talked a little bit about how you started the company, but what drove you and why did you want to become an entrepreneur?
I think I've always been an entrepreneur. I was, you know, even though maybe I was an employee within a company, I was always creating different ideas. I think my son, my oldest son, puts it the best way. He said, "My dad and I could be walking in a dark tunnel. I see nothing but darkness, but he sees a pin light at the end of the tunnel, and he runs with that idea and goes from there." So I just look at I think entrepreneurs look at businesses through a different lens.
So you were meant to be an entrepreneur without realizing it, back starting out as a teacher and a coach.
That's correct, right.
And I'm sure those lessons also helped you as you developed your business.
They did. I mean, it's business is parallel to sports in many ways. You have to put a game plan together. You've got four quarters, right? You have four quarters in a business, and you have measurement. In measurement in business is your profit and loss.
In addition to that, as a business owner, you're also a teacher. That comes through in your book, too. Teaching lessons to help your people develop and grow.
Yes. I think that's always been with me. The more that you can share that message, that then I think when you are, as an entrepreneur, the visionary, but it's the people who make your vision come to life. That's just part of that in teaching the employees and sharing that and helping them see what the vision is. And I talk about in the book about why. I think that's very important to always tell people, okay, we're going to do this and why we're doing it. When people understand the why, I think you have a greater chance for success.
Well, when you take a look at a coach on the sidelines of football, they can't go in there and make the play.
That's correct.
They have to stand and let them do it. But again, that why is helping them understand that. In your book, you mention Nordstrom.
Right.
You also mention, I believe, a mentor of yours, Carl Sewell, yes. Customers for Life.
Right.
And you are a customer of Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
How did Nordstrom and Carl Sewell impact you and then the beginning of the Expo Group?
Well, Nordstrom, I think they were the first, what I'll call, single-source supplier. They came up with the methodology that if you went into their store and were dealing with one of their sales reps, and if you wanted to buy a suit, that sales rep, or if you wanted to buy a pair of shoes, that same sales rep would work with you throughout the whole store to make it very convenient and easy for the end user, being the customer. The other thing that was a major takeaway for me was one of the when they have new employees at Nordstrom, one of the family members comes in, tells them that 80% of their training is already done, and it's been done by their parents, and that's so very true in our company and in any service business. I think parents have a big influence in how you treat people. The other Carl Sewell, that to me was a mystery. And when I read his book, I said, I really have to get more in tune with a person who is bold enough to say they want you to be a customer of the same dealership for life. That to me was like, wow, that's pretty amazing to me. I want to learn how he's going to do this or how he is doing it. So I read his book. After reading it, I came back and actually bought one for every department manager we had. We did a retreat, and I asked each one of them before the retreat to read the book. And we actually sat down for 2.5 days and went chapter by chapter and took things out of his book that we applied to our own company. And it was a game changer for us.
Well, essentially what Carl Sewell has said and what Nordstrom has done over the years is take care of the customer.
Yes. Absolutely.
Just take care of the customer.
Right.
That also ties in with servant leadership, because that's taking care of the employee, and that's a philosophy of the Expo Group. And talk about that.
Servant leadership was another what I'll call mentor of mine. William Pollard was the chairman of ServiceMaster. He writes extensively about servant leadership and about his beliefs and his faith. And I felt like a company of that size and magnitude, being an international company, could be that bold. I felt that gave me the courage to be bold within our own company here. And so the servant leadership is an inverted pyramid. For years, I ran the company where I was on the top of the pyramid, basically directing down. So I call it top-down, bottom-out. The objective at that point for us was to make sure that the lowest common denominator of the employee understood what our goal was, what our mission was, and be able to tell that in anytime, any place. But with servant leadership, the CEO is on the bottom of the pyramid, and he's pushing up. And so what he is serving is the people that are directly reporting to him. And then those folks do the same thing for the people directly reporting to them. And so it's bottom up and over, and it spills out. And since we started doing that here in the company, it's been unbelievable.
You are a family business.
Yes, we are.
If nothing else, you have one son that is also leading the company in addition to yourself, but you see this business as your family. I'm going to talk about this for a moment. We'll come back to some of the lessons you learned, but you do things with them. One of the comments that you made in your book, a couple of them, when you bought lotto tickets for everybody, you have a kids' day, you have Olympics. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the things you do to unite the extra group family.
Well, we look at all of the employees as an extension of the Pekowski family, and those were thoughts and ideas that we had to just engage them and have fun. The four keys to success, what I always say is number one is to have fun, work hard, discipline, and attention to detail. So when we do those things, when we talk about the Kids' Day and the Olympics, and those are all ways to have fun in the environment that we work in. And the other thing that was very instrumental in, serving our employees was we started off sending each employee a birthday card. And
that's a small thing.
That's a small
thing. But it has a major impact.
It had a major impact. And then from there, we carried it over to the children of those families. So you can only imagine if, when you get a birthday card, and inside the birthday cards, we would always, depending on what the age of the child was, we would put in a McDonald's card, or we'd put in movie theater tickets, and then eventually got the iTunes, depending on their age level. And so when they would get, come home and there'd be a card from, a birthday card from the company that their parent worked for, it was big. That was a big impact on them. And that carried over and that made their parents proud that they worked for us.
It's very difficult to leave a company when you are proud to be part of that company and your kids are proud for mom or dad to be a part of that company, too.
Yes.
And you're tying all that together. We're speaking with Ray Pekowski. Ray is chairman and CEO of the Expo Group. Their website is theexpogroup.com. Talk about, Ray, if you would, the Platinum Rule.
The Platinum Rule was something that we learned from our business consultant. And everybody, the Golden Rule is, hey, treat everybody like you want to be treated. And the Platinum Rule is to treat everybody like they want to be treated. So there's a difference because you and I are different. And you want to be, I may want to be treated one way, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you want to be treated that way. So the Platinum Rule is just that. Learn how that individual works best and wants to be treated and handled in certain circumstances or situations that we may have at the company.
But to do that, you need to know that person.
Yes, you do.
Which is what you do here at the Expo Group.
Yes, we do.
You get to know them very well, which also ties in with your core values. I mentioned at the very beginning the Iceman, mm-hmm. ICE, integrity, compassion, excellence. Why did you come up with those three?
That was really something that our department managers came up with. We talked about it. We wanted to have something that was easy for everyone to remember, and what we representative of, and they really did the whole package. It wasn't me. I can't take any credit for the Iceman.
But for them to have come up with integrity, compassion, and excellence, ICE, that had to have been a major part of your culture.
Yes.
Prior to them coming up with those three individuals, so you have done something up to this point to come up with that. I mean, you caused them to move in that direction.
We did. Yeah. We did. And I think it just It's something that we talk about, we live. And so I always say we start with the internal customer. And so how we treat each other internally is going to have an impact on how we treat people outside of the company. So if you practice those three things inside and treat people fairly, with integrity and compassion and excellence, you're going to be successful.
There's four disciplines of success you talked about in your book, which is Lessons of an Entrepreneur. And for those who might have some interest in purchasing that book, we'll talk about that before the show is over. But your four disciplines are focus, act on the commitment, keep a scorecard, and create accountability. Are there any one of those four that jumps out as a major part of what's caused the Expo Group to be successful?
I would say focus. We are not a volume company, and the idea that if you're going to commit your business to us, we want to make sure that we fulfill every commitment that we promise to you. And in order to do that, you have to stay focused, because there's a lot of distractions, as you know, both from a business perspective and social media perspective. So I think it's important that we focus on the challenge on hand. In our industry, it's even though we may be doing the same event year after year, that most of those events rotate to different cities, and they become various challenges within labor markets, within move-in dates, those types of things. So we have to stay focused.
There are so many details in your business. Getting away from that focus would be detrimental.
Yes.
Let's talk about your one big break. In your book, Lessons of an Entrepreneur, you talk about a number of setbacks that you had over the years. This is all not a bed of roses for the last 30 years. Things have happened that were not as positive as they could have been. But what was your one big break? Looking back, was there any one thing that moved you to where you are today?
I don't know if it was any one big break. I think the in the beginning was just the need. I underestimated how many people really wanted to have their exhibitors serviced at the level that we serviced. And so, as I mentioned earlier, I think that we were undercapitalized. I think the other was the first major show that we did. There was three entrepreneurs who owned the show. And so it was an automatic. There was no bid, no proposal. It was, Ray, you got our business.
One of the questions I should have asked you at the beginning, for those people who aren't quite sure what the Expo Group does, what do you do? Give the folks an example of how they would know something that the Expo Group had done.
Well, we work for trade associations. In other words, they hire us to put their event on from the aspect of providing certain services and products. So it goes from the logistics of moving the material handling for the exhibits that are going to be on the show floor to doing all their graphics, providing all their furnishings, and all the other necessary items for them to have a successful event.
So anybody that sees a show, a large show, in a convention center,
yes,
would see something that you possibly had done.
Possibly had
or
done.
Or that type
right.
of event. Let's switch gears here just a moment, because you have been doing this for 30 years. This is a family business. Why do so few entrepreneurs invest time and money into building a contingency plan and succession plans, and why should they do that?
Well, I think when you first start your company, your business, it's immaterial whether you're going to think about succession, and I would highly recommend that you don't think about, hey, I'm going to start this business for my children. That's the wrong idea. And that is, I think, you're setting yourself up for failure on that. So number one is to start your business with the idea that you're going to provide a service that's not being out there in niche. Then if you're successful, as time goes on, you have to look at, okay, what is my exit strategy? You know, and I think you run your business in two separate ways. If you're looking long term, I think patience is key, and you continue to look down the road of how you're going to grow your business. I said if the other is to hey, I'm going to build this business up and I'm going to turn it and make a profit and start another one, which a lot of people do that. I think then you look at running your company very lean, making sure that you're not really you're not really investing long term, but short term, get your profit, sell for some multiple, and move on. That was never my goal. My goal was always long term. Now, having said that, yes, I have three children. I didn't start the company for them to take it over. I never, that was never an expectation. They had the choice to work here. Two of the boys did, one for almost 10 years, and elected to move on after he got married and had a family because of the hours that we work and the travel that we have to do. My daughter, she was a pharmaceutical salesperson, never had any interest in coming into the company. And my oldest son did have an interest. But again, we have an outside family business consultant that works with us. We have annual family meetings. We talk about issues about going forward. And I had to make a decision on what I wanted to do, my wife and I, with the company. Were we going to sell it? Are we going to hold on to it and not necessarily have one of our children run it? That was always a managed expectation with our outside business consultant. It was certainly there, and it made sense if they could operate and had the skill set to operate it. But it's never a given. And so we spent a lot of time on that and just recently elected that we were going to move on. So we have succession planning in place. Our oldest son is now the president of the company. But back to your question, I think that a lot of entrepreneurs don't think about that. They don't think about their exit. Or they feel like the only exit they have is the sell. I visit with quite a few people, and the ones that don't want to sell, they'll bring somebody in at the last minute. They'll put maybe a long-term employee and say, hey, you're going to be now the president of the company, and I expect all my residuals. I expect, you know, my profit sharing. And it's very difficult for an entrepreneur who is the first generation to just step away and give it to an outside person like that. Most of those companies fail. Even if they've been in business for 30 years, I was visiting with a major company here in the Metroplex, and he's owned it for 30 years and really doesn't, you know, have an exit strategy. And he said, well, I'll just sell it. The, you know, timing is good. But there's seller's remorse. If you spend 30 years of your life in something, it's easier said than done.
This is a part of your life. This is like one of your children.
That's correct, right. And so one of the questions that was asked of me by our board when we were entertaining selling was, they said, okay, Ray, what would you do with the money you get? And as you know, there's not much of a return right now in the banks, right? So I said I would probably invest. And they said, what would you invest in? I said, well, real estate, other companies. And they said, would you invest in this company? And I said, well, absolutely. And they said, well, if you're willing to take money from that you're going to get from the sale of this company and invest it right back, think about that. So they said, you haven't said any one thing for you to sell the company. And I totally agree with them. And that was kind of not that I needed that, but it was just kind of a confirmation.
Well, let's wrap up with what I had mentioned earlier about your book and many of the lessons from Lessons of an Entrepreneur we discussed in this interview. But in a few weeks, if you're local to Dallas and Fort Worth, you're going to be doing a book signing for this book at South Lake Town Square. That's October 14th.
Right.
Tell us about that and where the profits go.
Okay, the book sale is going to be at Barnes & Noble, October 14th from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. All the proceeds from our book is going to a charity that we have set up with the Communities Foundation of Texas. And that was also when we elected not to sell the company. We set up our estate plan that when my wife and I pass, 50% of our assets will go to that charity.
And all the proceeds from Lessons of an Entrepreneur by Ray Pacowski are going to go there too. Ray, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It was great, Steve. I enjoyed it.
Well, you are definitely a playmaker. This has been a terrific show. We just spoke with Ray Pacowski. Ray is chairman and CEO of the Expo Group. And it's been great having Ray on our show, and thanks to all of you for listening and joining us. Join us again at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you get all of our past episodes. That's PlayMakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join Steve again at PlayMakersTalkShow.com for more interviews with interesting and successful playmaking CEOs and executives.